What's up, everybody? I'm Andrew Schultz, and welcome to the Flagrant 2 podcast. Analysis by assholes, no easy buckets, water cooler commentary for your sports needs. We are back. This is our third episode. I am here with Akash Singh, and Real Life Kaz.
You.
I gotta call you Real Life Kaz after Akash Singh, and has a nice
Like,
it has a nice little rhythm to it.
I like it.
I like it.
That bounce. Gotta have that bounce.
Change the artwork.
There we go. We would be foolish and tone deaf, obviously, to not acknowledge what happened in Las Vegas over the weekend. So I thought that, you know, I guess we all collectively thought that we should start by at least just, you know, briefly discussing it, show some respect to the people who have lost their lives. I think right now, we're recording this Monday, so I think they said 50 people have been killed, and I think over 400 have been injured. Obviously, rest in peace to everybody who's hurt. You know, my thoughts and feelings and condolences go out to, you know, the families of these people. This is a horrific, tragic event. You know, information is still unfolding, so we don't really have everything. Everybody listening right now probably knows as much as we know, you know, or maybe you know more because it's
going to
be
here tomorrow, so they'll know much more than us.
But yeah, it's just incredibly tragic, you know, and you hope to obviously avoid these things in life. You hope to avoid these things, you know, throughout history. You know, we're going to look back at this as one of these incredibly tragic events, terror attacks in American history.
Yeah, it's just a real shame. We gotta call it what it is. Like, you know, all the other, you know, narratives that are being spun where, you know, people are, you know, hasn't even been 12 hours yet and people are like spinning their own kind of narratives on it. Like, these are like human lives. These are people, you know, like at the end of the day, you know, I mean, these are people losing their lives over what? Over nothing.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, obviously we don't know much of anything yet, more than our listeners would probably know. I do have a friend that was actually at that festival.
Oh my God.
She's okay. She just uploaded, you know, a long caption on Instagram. Shout out to TJ. Shout out to Tara. She's probably listening to this. You know, she went to a festival to have fun. You know what I mean? Like, she's not even really into country music like that. Like, she went in there knowing she's probably going to run into people that don't have the same views she does, but she just likes the music, and music's supposed to be something that brings people together.
Right.
So, you know, anybody who's been to Vegas or more importantly, been to a festival at Vegas just kind of like knows how vulnerable you are to something like this. And it's just kind of like a nightmare come true. So, like, you know, prayers out to her and everybody that's been affected. Yeah. And, you know, I really don't have much to add at this point. It's just unspeakable.
Yeah. I don't know. I never really feared, I guess I feared death, obviously, but I always feared much more losing loved ones. So with me, just the thoughts and prayers, first and foremost with the families, obviously with the victims, but the families, I can't even imagine. And I hope we remember this as the worst, because I hope there's not another one. And maybe a foolish hope, but that's just all I can hope at this point, I guess.
It's only been 16 months since the last deadliest mass shooting
which
in U.S.
was
history.
Orlando, right?
The Pulse
Orlando.
One in Orlando?
I wanted to say Orlando. I don't want to, you know, speak out of turn, but they did say it was only 16 months ago that this was the last deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. And now this is currently, you know, what's going on in Vegas is now the new deadliest mass shooting in history.
I mean, and this is what happened. Everybody will put their policy on top of it, and that's just what, you know, politicians do, and it's kind of a gross situation. But, you know, whatever your agenda is, you'll find a way to fit it into this situation. And but hey, listen, we just want to show some respect to the people who have passed and those people's families. And obviously, if you've been affected, you know, we're incredibly sorry that you got to go through it. You know, we've all, I'm sure everybody on the show has lost people very dear and important to us, and it's a horrible thing to go through. So that being said, we will continue to show. How do we rebound from this? I'll tell you the thing. One fucked up thing is yesterday is, so I think OJ got out of jail, what, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
So,
what a segue.
Now, well, I'm going to tell you.
That's perfect.
So OJ got out of jail 2 days ago, right? No bullshit. And, you know, OJ was in jail in Nevada. And there was just a tweet that said, you know, shots have been fired on the Vegas Strip. And I was like, already, like, yeah.
I was like, are you serious?
This motherfucker did not wait.
Are you serious?
This motherfucker did not wait not 12 hours, bro. I was like, come on, OJ. I was like, first of all, where's Jay-Z? Jay-Z better not be in Vegas right now. Because OJ.
You can't lose another rapper in Vegas.
No, oh bro. I was
can
like,
we not? Sorry, OJ. Please don't come for us.
OJ don't need our apology. I was gonna say, right? I'm not sorry, OJ.
Yo, that's right. We're apologizing. Yeah.
We're not going like, to pin this tragedy on OJ. Talk,
here's
right?
a hypothetical I had to segue into something fun. My friends insist that if OJ wanted to kill me, he could catch me at this age. And there is no fucking chance
speed?
In hell. I will
speed?
Challenge OJ to a foot race right now.
Oh, absolutely.
100
first
yards, whatever the fuck you want to do.
First of all, well, first of all, could OJ catch you? First
give
all?
Him a knife so I have a real reason to run.
Hall
okay.
of Fame.
And it's done.
Hall of Fame running back.
Okay.
Spent the last 9 years in jail
yep.
with nothing to do but
work
pretty
out.
Much work out.
He's doing calisthenics.
Like that.
He's light. He's
he might
light.
Be. He might
light.
Be up there in age, but yo.
He, you know,
he had
all,
breakaway
yeah,
speed
man,
back
first
then.
Of all, you are asthmatic. OJ is capturing you within 30 seconds.
No
okay?
fucking chance.
Yeah, I'm
not,
telling
no
you,
fucking
dude.
Chance.
I'm telling
OJ,
you,
OJ, I'm putting
you.
This out there, fam. You and me.
Let me tell
mano
you.
Mano y mano. Winner take lives.
OJ,
if you win. If I win, I'm just running.
OJ is captured. Let me tell you, what it's going to be is this. It's going to be like, you know how like lions and shit can run really fast for a short distance?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
apparently that's how humans have survived over time.
Yeah.
We can't run fast, but we yeah. can run forever.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True. This is true.
You're like a lion. You're spry.
Okay, first of all,
like a little Indian cheetah. You know what I mean? Real
Fam.
Talk. So you're going to be running away and then we're going to be like, oh, no way OJ's going to catch him. And then all of a sudden
he just pounces?
Bro, not No. The Jason theme music is going to come, right? You're going to be looking, where is OJ? And he's going to be walking, plodding behind you, walking.
Bro, I would like, yo, dust guy. OJ.
Yeah, that's
in the
dust
short term.
OJ.
In the
yeah,
short
I'm not
term.
Saying, first of all, if I'm running for my life, it ain't a 4 mile run.
Oh,
bro, we didn't say. We didn't say. It's you until
know,
he catches
you. You know what all of this is like reminding me of?
But,
it's just giving me a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
And don't steal this, whoever listens to this.
I bet.
The next great.
Like you stole the Dipset anthem.
Like you said.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. Kaz says last week, sorry to cut, but Kaz, you say, yo, we should replace the national anthem with the Dipset national anthem. All of a sudden, Cardi B tweets out, somebody got 44,000 likes on a signatures on a petition for the Dipset national anthem
that.
Replacing it.
God damn it.
We're
stop stealing my idea.
We're moving the culture.
So.
Right,
moving
so
the needle
on
this
Give
shit.
Them the next shit to steal.
All right, so yo, the next great horror movie screenplay after Get Out
mm-hmm.
and It is... The Return of OJ. Is there nobody like? And here's the thing, like the OJ thing with Nicole and Ron Goldman, and whatever you may think might have happened, is what almost 20.
Yo, you see how quick OJ?
First of all, who said I forgave OJ? According to the states of California,
the whole Nicole and Ron thing that
OJ,
happened,
never
there was no forgiveness
OJ
according to the state of California. They there was
oh, yeah,
nothing
no,
to forgive
him.
According
yeah,
to the state
lost,
of California.
He lost the civil case, but according to the state, OJ didn't kill these people.
Right,
so
right,
I'm just
right.
going by the government, what the government's saying, right?
Right.
Secondly. Why don't we, us three, create a screenplay
okay.
where it's a scary movie
okay.
and OJ is on the loose and everybody thinks OJ's this killer and bodies keep, there's like copycat killers.
Oh, but it's,
oh,
not,
it's not
But it's
OJ.
Not OJ.
That's interesting.
But it's
wow,
not
that's interesting.
They keep setting him up lovely.
And they keep, and
I
yo,
100%
and you know
think that shit. Movie will come out.
Did anybody see the video
everybody
of him?
Everybody who dies has like a signed football. And we're like, OJ, we know how you feel about memorabilia.
They all die
like,
in the Heisman polls.
Like they kill him and they leave like bro. One of his, they leave like his Heisman trophy yeah. next to him. And it's like, it's my memorabilia. You know he came back for yeah. it.
They still stealing my memorabilia.
This is great. Literally, there's orange juice around. Like OJ, there's orange juice next to the bodies. Like your
you.
Name is the juice. The juice is loose, yeah. obviously.
Somebody get Jordan Peele on the phone, man.
Yo,
we gotta make this.
We got, hey, Jordan, holler at us. We'll even take
us,
Key. Yo, Key, we'll take you. You know what I'm saying? I know you're being overlooked right now. Is Key OJ's friend? What's OJ's loyal ass?
He's
friend?
Cowlings?
He's the Marcus Cowlings or whatever.
Cowlings, yeah. Is Key the Cowlings in that relationship?
Something like that. Yeah.
That's fucked up, son. Man.
Yo, but, yo, if you saw the video of him when he you know, when they interviewed him afterwards, he showed up in a white truck. Son. In a white truck. Like somebody walked up to him.
He don't care.
Bro.
He don't care.
On the lowest of keys?
Pulled up in a gas station.
That's the most gangster shit I've seen. No,
he pulled up with a camera on his phone. He put a phone. How is there no shake? My man had no shake in his interview with OJ.
Bro, you said it. These kids don't get what OJ did and was.
Allegedly.
Andrew and I had talked about this where like kids are like gonna forgive OJ and he's gonna be. Andrew legit believes, and I didn't at the time when he was saying, he's like, he's gonna be a celebrity again.
Oh, for sure.
Everybody's gonna forgive him. Nobody. Yep. And then that day, the host goes on stage, Andrew's headline, host goes on stage, I'm about to go up, and the host is talking about OJ, and then someone said, oh, whatever, that was years ago. Get over it. And it was a kid, and I was like, yo, this shit is nothing to them.
They don't know him as Murder OJ.
No.
They don't. And if you don't notice somebody, dude, this guy will be a celebrity, especially with social media. He doesn't even need to be on TV. He can have his own shit. Like, if Saramucci or whatever that motherfucker name is has his own media, OJ's gonna have his own little
dude. OJ's the only dude I follow on Periscope. Just because you never know when it could happen. You never know when it could pop off.
You don't know what kind of hijinks OJ's going to get into.
Hijinks. That's what you're calling it? Hijinks? Middle of the night hijinks?
Bro, it's going to be hijinks. We're going to see him furnish his new apartment. Out going to get knives today.
You can tell what his sense of humor. He'll probably make jokes about it like,
This guy's coming out. First of all, his skin is immaculate. He's going to come out. I guarantee he's going to.
Black
does not. He's been locked up for 9 years. Bro, he looks incredible.
He was in jail stress-free, not a wrinkle on his face, bro, dude. I'm like,
Hillary Clinton been a millionaire her entire life. She looks 1,000 years old. This guy is a murderer. He played in He played in the NFL, then did 9 years, right? In the desert, B.
Yeah.
And his skin looks incredible. He's coming out of skincare line.
Yo.
He's going to
be on Desus and Mero next week.
Here's the one thing I ask of you. If you do come out the skincare line, OJ, it just can't be with Kiehl's. It sounds too much like Kiehl's. Okay? You got to go with Eucerin. You got to go with... Put out OJ butter. Whatever it is, just don't do Kiehl's.
OJ and Queen Helene sounds like a match made in heaven. She waiting.
Here we are talking about people not caring about what OJ did, and now
that was the 90s though. Norm Macdonald used to get on SNL and make OJ murder people jokes every week, and it was the best. People like how we grew up. You made jokes about these things.
What if on some level, and I really do believe this, murder ain't that bad to us? Think about it. My favorite rappers are murderers.
How so?
Some of my favorite rappers talk about murdering people, have killed people. Gucci killed somebody.
And to his
Gucci
point,
did kill a guy.
To his point, when a rapper raps about being
Brandy
thugs.
Brandy killed a guy.
I don't respect that shit. It was unintentional. This is To his point, if you find out a rapper talks about like carrying guns or whatever and then isn't, he's kind of like just a good guy, you're like, this bitch ass.
You're disappointed.
I don't respect this dude.
Yeah,
Rick, like, Rick Ross almost lost his career.
Yeah.
Because you were like, oh,
he had to go to jail for real for us to be like, all right, I'll see what you say about Birdman.
He had to rap about raping girls for us to be like, all right, you got some street cred, dog. We just need to make sure.
He had to for real kidnap some people and rap about date rape.
Yeah.
And we were like, all right, maybe Rick Ross is about that life.
Bro, it is a weird thing in humanity. It's like, I think rape is fucked up. That's really wrong. That's too much for us, right? But isn't it funny how like these like even Pepsi took the moral high ground on Ross,
this
right?
True.
Ross is talking about dealing drugs, shooting motherfuckers, doing illegal activity all the time. And the second he was like, put a Molly in a drink, she didn't know it.
You're like, hey, whoa.
I'm sorry, Mr. Murderer. There'll be no raping going on under the Pepsi banner.
I'm going to tell you why. Because murder is the only heinous crime that could almost always be justified in some way, shape, or form.
Facts.
You can't justify rape.
Wow.
You can't justify, you know, playing with kids or all that other garbage. There's certain cases where, like, you listen to the OJ story and, like, you know, the Ron Goldman and all these things. It's like, I wouldn't have killed him.
Right.
But I understand.
That Chris Rock bit.
Exactly. Rock
bit. And to Kaz's credit, not a lot of non-comics can explore this kind of stuff. And that's what's dope about you. You can get in there or not.
This is
you get because into the nuance of the talk. I mean, it was a bit that I was kind of talking about how like we can put up with murder. Like, it is one of those things where in our brains we can find justification.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if I killed somebody but they were trying to stab my mom, you're a hero.
Yeah.
Exactly. You can be a hero murdering people. You can never be a hero raping.
This is true.
Real talk.
This is the Dave Chappelle bit. The Dave Chappelle bit. He saves more than he rapes. I'm telling you. It's the only way it makes sense. It's the only way. But no, it's facts though. It's facts. There's almost, unless like you're like a psychopath or like even in war, like you get medals. They throw parades for you after killing massive amounts of people.
You can't be a ace pilot, right? They put a murder limit. Yeah. You have to kill. Wait, how many did you kill? Just three? You're not an ace.
What are you getting a purple ribbon for that shit?
How many bodies you got? You know what I mean?
Killed three people by accident this morning.
To tie it back to sports, I still watch the NFL.
Yeah.
Right? We hear about murder in the NFL. I refuse to watch Baylor. Baylor, anything, really? Fuck no, turn off the TV.
Why?
Because Baylor had a huge, I mean, maybe I know more because I grew up near
there. Yeah.
There was a huge scandal. Players are just, there was like 24 accused rapes or 15, some crazy number. Yeah. And then the coaches just kind of helped covering it up and they weren't really punishing the players. And I was like, yo, fuck Baylor forever.
Yeah, because you can't.
I watch the NFL every Sunday.
You can't make an excuse for rape, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can make an excuse for murder. You can make an excuse for causing someone bodily harm.
Yep.
Same thing. I was watching the games. I wasn't really trying to watch Sunday Night Football last night because the Seahawks and the Colts don't really interest me. I was watching WNBA Finals more. But literally,
we're going to have a conversation about that.
Which is fact. Which is like, literally, every time I turned back onto Sunday Night Football, there was somebody laid out. It was like, oh, we're going to take a break real quick. Oh, we're going to take. I was like, yo, if I took a shot every time they went to break because somebody's laid out unconscious or can't walk or something like that. I'm like, yo, I'm literally watching people damn near kill themselves for sport.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. And this goes back to what we were going to talk about before, about like, you know, the illegal hits with Danny Trevathan and all that type of stuff. It's like,
set that up.
Why are we trying to pretend that this isn't the most violent shit on earth? More violent than boxing, more violent than UFC. Like, these guys are trying to hurt and maim people, and they're trying to regulate how you hurt and maim them.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to take somebody who's trying to take a ball and take 100 yards that way, and the only way to stop them is to make sure they aren't moving anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that is the name of the game. You have to stop them from moving. How do you stop them? You either take out their legs, you take out their head. Like, there's no perfect way about this. We are watching people kill people with their arms and legs for sport.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they're trying to sugarcoat it. It is a violent sport by nature.
What happened in the last 5-10 years, whatever, is we realized how much it's actually killing these people.
Yeah.
When we thought they were just hurting each other, all right, fine.
Mm-hmm.
When they're actually getting CTE, killing each other and killing other people, now we got to try to find a line where it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's where all the regulation comes in. And that, because we talked about this. I don't respond to, I used to get out of my seat at a nasty
big hit. Oh, for sure.
And everybody feels this way. Now we're all like, ooh.
Nah, I'd be
dude, Midway. Midway and EA Sports.
If I see someone get lit up, bro, yo, I'm not gonna lie. I get up for that.
Say it, bro. EA Sports probably made an extra $1 billion to the Madden franchise when they added the hit stick to the game.
Yo.
Like, that was a whole movement. Yeah. It was like, oh yeah, now you can really cause bodily harm.
Wasn't there another game that was all that?
What Blitz?
Blitz.
NFL Blitz.
NFL CTE. We should have called that NFL CTE, right?
You're literally suplexing people after the whistle and getting points for it.
Yeah, except you get rewarded for it. It's an interesting thing. Maybe we just got to admit we like the violence part of it. Like,
dude.
That, but that's the thing that's annoying me. Like, we act like we're all about the game and the sophistication and all that kind of shit. It's like,
people here who watch, for the violence.
We're here for the NASCAR. Like, if you watch NASCAR, right? You're not watching for them to drive around in circles.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching for the accident.
For the car wreck.
You're watching for the, like, if there's a whole race with no wreck,
yeah,
you're not going, wow, that was, you could just watch a clock, right? If you want to see, there's no difference in watching time go, right? Like, so let's admit what we like about it. If we like the violence, then we're complicit in that shit.
Yeah,
and if we want them to be violent, I think the only way to save the sport, I think the only possible way is the interest in fantasy. And I'll tell you why. Because it shifted our attention from watching the game to points on our phone.
Yeah.
Right? Like, now, I don't even care if the game is on as long as I'm winning my fantasy, right?
You play fantasy?
I do play fantasy. Oh, I'm actually whooping ass.
I can't do it.
I'm killing these motherfuckers. And if any of you are listening, y'all ain't shit.
Y'all know y'all ain't shit. I had a bad game yesterday, so I can't talk shit.
But you understand what I'm saying? Like, maybe there's a way where we're so invested in this fantasy component of football that we can accept a less violent version.
Before fantasy, there was gambling.
Yeah.
Well, that's what fantasy is on it's some level. It's gambling, right? Gambling. It's like, how do you make something boring interesting?
Yeah.
Put some money on the line.
Yeah. That's the only thing.
Right? Like, people roll dice on the side of a building. That's not fun.
Like, I wouldn't give a damn about a Jaguars-Jets game if I didn't have, like, Alex Hearns playing. I'm like, oh, the Jets defense sucks. All right, I'm gonna get 20 points today. Right, like, right. I wouldn't give a fuck regardless.
Yeah.
You know, but that's just the way it is, man. Like, I think we as a people, like, just all together as, like, sports fans, we gotta, like, we just gotta stop fronting to ourselves. Like, dog, like, we, like, ever since the beginning of time, like, we used to watch, like, Gladiators and, like, yep. people, like, fight to the death. And, like, there's still a part of that in all of us that that is why we watch the game. We want to see violence. We want to see people get hurt.
Was it you that made this analogy or about, it's like, remember when they did porn with that, with condoms?
Was it me?
I don't know. I might have thought of this, but it's like, remember for a second they tried to put condoms on porn stars? Like, I don't know. You don't watch a lot of porn, Akash,
no,
but like,
I remember hearing about it.
There was a moment where they tried to make it a rule that they put that all porn stars were.
I think
condoms.
In California, right?
It was like in California.
To regulate
and that's
it.
Where a lot of, you know, the porn is from, like Vivid and all that shit is from out there, right? So they tried to put condoms. And as fans of porn, we were all like, nah. You know what I mean? Because deep down, it's like, I don't care if y'all kill yourself. I need to enjoy this. And it's the same thing with NFL, right? It's like, I don't care if you guys get CTE on some level. I need to see my hits.
So what would be like the equivalent of taking the condoms off in porn?
Just see, but that's like, what I'm saying. There's steps they could do that don't like make everybody wear that, not concussion-proof helmet, but they got this big-ass safer helmet.
Right.
Eli's big-ass goofy helmet is supposed to help with concussions. Wear that. Because I'm not comfortable with watching football players kill themselves and their wives. Then I'm like, yo, fuck. I keep seeing these stories, and I'm like, I keep thinking I'm complicit in this.
Yeah, that's because you haven't jerked off to condom porn.
Wow.
When you do it.
I mean, there is a sense
I will never
of realism.
Watch flag football is condom porn.
That's what I'm saying.
Could
you watch
that.
Flag football?
I get like, that.
I couldn't.
But they do have to, I do think, and it, listen, the NFL, I'm not a fan of Goodell. Yeah. I'm not a fan of the owners.
Yeah.
But they are in a tricky spot with this, where they got to find a way for us to be like, okay, we like this game, brutal, but they're not killing their mind and their loved ones.
I think the only way for Goodell and the owners to save their league is it just stop fronting. Just be like, you know why you watch this shit. You want to see the fucking violence. You want to see the people get their heads cut. So you know what? Headshots are legal.
Bang.
Go low. We don't give a fuck. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like if MLB legalized steroids. Like, boy, we know why you're watching baseball.
Yeah.
You want to see some home runs.
Here's the one issue with that. Retroactively, every player who didn't know could sue the fuck out of the
NFL. Of course. Of course they would. But they're good. It's only going to go backwards as far as violence is concerned, because one day they're going to be like, okay, you can't hit the head, then you can't hit the leg, then you can't hit the body. And it's like, dog, it's a violent game by nature. But after a while, like, it's going to be flag football.
Yeah.
So it's like you either go all one way or just go all the other way.
I think they can find a line if the NFL doesn't sink itself first.
Here's the problem is that they're going to run out of players. So now that we know it causes CTE.
Yeah.
High schools, public high schools, will not be allowed to have football teams.
Mm.
Someone's going to sue, right? Yeah. Some kid is going to get injured and they're going to sue. And public high schools just won't have them. Now, football is a very expensive sport.
Very expensive.
Right? Yeah. So the average middle income kid can't afford all these pads, cleats, practices, all this kind of shit. They're not going to be able to be part of these, you know, what are they called? AAU teams, if you will, or Pop Warner
Pop
or whatever.
Warner, yeah.
Yeah, Pop Warner. So they just won't have enough talent to draw from, and then football will be done. It's simple as that. It's a matter of time. This shit is going away. They just won't have the talent pool to pick from. Apparently, someone said that's why all these quarterbacks are getting concussed a lot more now is because they're running out of linemen.
Jesus.
Like the big guys, right, that used to protect those 350-pound linemen would be the Dallas Cowboys, that front line, these guys just don't gravitate towards the sport. Because honestly, why would you? It's guaranteed CTE for no shine.
Yeah.
Nobody even knows who the fuck you are.
Like,
as
I saw
a lineman.
The Brickashaw Ferguson retired like after like 8 years, and he was like one of the best offensive tackles. Yeah. And like that's the only reason why the Jets were any good, because they had like
the brick.
They could put me at quarterback, and they'd have like 7 seconds to throw the ball because they had monsters in the front line.
Right.
And the Brickashaw Ferguson was like, "Fuck this, I ain't doing this shit no more."
Yeah.
Like, you know, after a while, your health has to take into account, but I don't know, maybe they just turn the NFL into like slam ball or something and just like make everything super bouncy. Just like turn the arena into like that's, a ball or something.
What's
like,
it? The Arena Football League.
Arena Football,
like
that's basically what it
no
is.
Sidelines, it's got walls.
Yeah, like
yeah, but that should look violent too, isn't it?
Yeah, like wow, they get like taken out over like the barricades and shit, like it's hockey.
Bro, I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen. We'll
I
just see.
I don't know how you save the NFL from being less violent. Like it's a violent sport. It's like taking the punches out of boxing. Like
yeah, you can
have to punch someone.
I like your argument that it's more violent than boxing because at least in boxing you can defend yourself. Someone's trying to punch you.
Yeah, you can defend yourself. Yeah. Like everybody, every awful hit you'll see is the hit that somebody doesn't see coming. You know what I mean? And that's the ones when they're like laid out and like, you know, they get stretched off. At least in boxing, at least in MMA, like you're trained to defend yourself.
I also don't know, maybe I don't know, but I don't know of any boxers who have 16 fights a year and then maybe a playoff.
True.
Yo,
true.
I mean, great Very point. Fact. Very wow, fact. That's yeah. huge. There's yeah. just much less. I mean, granted, maybe you're sparring, so there's a lot of that kind of stuff.
And even when you spar, you got a helmet on and right, like, right, you know, right. they'll step in. There's somebody there to step in when you're getting your ass kicked.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like nobody comes to save you in football unless you're literally laying on the ground.
Yeah.
It's the only way.
So I guess the question is did the Juice have CTE?
I thought that while we were having this discussion.
Did and the Juice have CTE?
I think if you watching that OJ doc, there was always something sociopathic about him.
Yeah.
And he might have had CTE, but there was always something.
Was
most
something
CTE people kill themselves. They don't kill their wives after, and then not kill themselves but go play golf.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's too like happy. Okay, maybe it's not that.
He could, but there's also something sociopathic about him for sure.
Allegedly. So he was found not guilty, damn it.
I called up a guy. I had a connect, and a guy put me in contact with his brother, who's, I can't say who
was. OJ's brother?
No, I wish. It was head of player personnel for an NFC football team. I can't say who it is.
Okay.
But I just wanted to talk to him about the whole Kaepernick situation and really understand, like, is Kaepernick blackballed across the league for his opinions and wanting to help black people? I want to know what this NFC football player personnel guy had to say. Black guy, by the way. Mm-hmm. And his statement was this. He goes, I don't think he's blackballed. I go, why not? No team will pick him up. He goes, well, you have to understand is he has a very specific skill set. I go, what do you mean? He goes, so for any team, you want your backup to have the same skill set as your starter, because if your starter goes down, you don't have to change the entire offense to accommodate the backup. Mm-hmm. Even if he's not as good, you at least go, okay, this is a pocket guy. I'll have a pocket guy. He goes, Cap, he's not a pocket guy. So there's probably eight teams that could pick him up. Panthers, Hawks, who else? He had a couple other ones.
Maybe the said, Cowboys. Dak is kind of a
I mean, Falcons, guy. Falcons. maybe. He was like, there's probably eight teams that probably could pick him up. And I go, but they won't because of the fans, and you think the hoopla and people being so, it's so divisive? And he goes, no. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I don't think it's about the divisiveness of the fans and people hating black people or people being pro-America or whatever it is. This was his argument. He goes, the problem is you have a similar situation where you have a situation where if the starting quarterback starts playing shitty, you have immense support for the backup.
But that's with any backup, though.
But it's not.
How?
Who's the backup on the Jets?
Bryce Petty.
Is anybody clamoring
but
for
But everybody
Bryce
knows
Petty?
That the Jets aren't winning because of Josh McCown's stellar quarterback play.
Right.
But like, the thing is, okay.
I'm just saying what he told me. So what he's saying, he's like, so what you can potentially do is risk dividing the locker room, because the locker room might start to say, well, why don't we give this guy a chance? This guy ain't doing a job.
But that's gonna, that literally happens with every yes. single football team. Look
the
at
most
the
popular
Bears.
Guy in town right. is a
Mitch Trubisky was, yeah. and they just made the change today.
Right,
like,
right.
Mitch Trubisky was getting clamored for whatever. Who else just got? Tom Savage. Tom Savage, Deshaun Watson was the most popular dude on that team
God, Deshaun
before,
Watson.
And he's a monster now. Wow. You know what I mean? So wow. it's like, you know, literally if you're a starting quarterback and you suck,
yep.
like the backup is always going to be the most popular guy in town.
Do you think it's possible that because of his
I call
stature,
bullshit on his explanation.
See, I don't
model.
Necessarily.
Do you think it's possible because of his stature that he would be more popular?
Of course, but like the same shit happened with Tim Tebow. The same shit happened
he
with...
He brought that up with Tebow.
The same shit happened with, God. So to a lesser extent, Colin Kaepernick the first time.
So
when Alex Smith was over there playing.
How do you explain... how do you explain a situation where with like where a player like Brandon Marshall, who's been kneeling, I think Brandon Marshall and Colin went to college together, and he's been kneeling just as long as Colin has. He just gets a new contract. He's, you know,
people don't hate any of these guys kneeling as much as they hate Kaepernick.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, right. Well, I guess because he's the guy that started it. They hate this dude. And listen, Dallas Cowboy fan, born and raised in Dallas. Dak Prescott, people love. Dak always does the right thing.
Right.
Colin Kaepernick plays kind of like Dak. Yeah. Not as good in the pocket, not as good, but he's way better than Kellen Moore. Mm-hmm. And I would much rather, I think most fans would rather win, but Dallas, Texas, a lot of those guys aren't going to fuck with Cap. Matter of fact, I saw a poll. Dallas, I thought, handled the controversy pretty well with the kneeling.
Yeah.
They knelt, then got up for the anthem.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what they did. And I saw a poll on DallasMorningNews.com. Dallas is pretty urban. What do you think of what the Cowboys did? It was great. They should have knelt for the entire time, or they shouldn't have knelt at all. 54% when I saw said shouldn't have knelt at all.
Mm.
That was crazy to me.
Really?
Don't even kneel.
It's not. That's what I'm trying
and
to
And that's why I don't think Kaepernick has a
interesting.
Job.
Yeah, it's
I'm just saying
it's
what
never,
he said. I can't tell him how to feel, but I just wanted to know from someone in the league who has the responsibility of bringing in on players to a team what their decision-making process was going to be.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to hear.
And maybe there's something, too, we don't want the circus of it. Because Tim Tebow brings, I love Tebow, but he brings a circus.
Yeah.
Kaepernick would bring a circus. And maybe you're like, I don't want to deal with that.
And Tim Tebow had similar success with, he's less skilled than a Kaepernick, but similar success. And he brought his team to a
second round divisional playoff.
To a division playoff, right?
Mm.
So, and you know, Kaepernick obviously
went to a Super Bowl,
yeah. Right? So it's not like.
But it's not like, all right, so the whole Tebow with Kaepernick thing is like, here's the thing. Even if you're looking at it strictly as a player evaluation type of thing, Tim Tebow was never, ever a really good quarterback. Like, he would, even in his best days,
right.
He would stink it up for three quarters. It would be Tebow time. He would just start tucking and running. He'll make little jump passes,
right.
Little, you know, bullshit pitches. And he would just find a way.
Right.
He would just find a way. You know what I mean? They seem to find a system for him. You know what I mean? They seem to figure out offense for him. And maybe it wasn't the best thing to do, but it's like, dog, you had Demaryius Thomas, you had Emmanuel Sanders, all these people.
They figured out a way. Yet.
They did have Emmanuel Sanders, I think.
I think they, all right.
But either way, they had weapons and they made it work.
Right.
My thing is, whatever system that you're running in Miami with Jay Cutler, and you have Adam Gase, who was the offensive coordinator when Jay Cutler had his best year as a Bear, and you manage 0 points.
Crazy.
0 points. Not even a fucking field. You don't even get me in field goal range.
Yeah. Against New Orleans, right?
Against New Orleans, whose defense
trash. Jay Cutler has been trash.
And he's been trash.
Right, yeah.
So whatever system that you're running that supposedly Jay Cutler is going to be a savior of for your offense, like, maybe it's not this. Maybe it's not just the player. It's the system too. Maybe you need to get somebody who, when shit breaks down, when your system doesn't work, could make something happen on his own. That's why you pick up a Tebow. That's why you pick up a Kaepernick. That's why, you know, Russell Wilson had so much success early in his career, because that's why he has success now. When shit breaks down, you need somebody under center that could be like, let's make something happen.
Make it happen.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't put all of that on your offensive coordinator, especially when it's proven that your offensive scheme kind of sucks.
Yeah.
You put up 0 points in a pro game against a team that is defense is suspect at best.
Right.
You know? I think that's a BS. That whole, like, you know, system fit argument for Kaepernick that people have been throwing around for a while, I just think has just been a load of crap.
Well, no, I get the system fit argument just because there's so much effort that goes into developing an offense, and there's so many pieces that you have moving here, right? You have the offensive line, you have the receivers, you have the running back, like, and now everything has to change.
I get system fit.
System fit. That being said, if you got eight systems where it fits, let's fucking go. We're not talking about two teams here. We're talking about eight opportunities. Like you said, you could slide them into Dallas.
Yeah, I don't believe that we're worried the backup quarterback could be too good.
Yeah.
Every coach wants, every GM, they want to win to keep their jobs. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Fuck controversy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's like Miami, you got Jay Ajayi, who's a, you know, top five running back.
He's a beast, right? Yeah, yeah.
And dude, did anybody see that play? With Jay Cutler lining up in the Wildcat?
I don't watch games in London.
Oh, my God. Dude, so... You're supposed to look like a threat when you line up in a Wildcat.
He didn't want none of it.
He did not move. He had his arms on his side like he was a single mom and just looked at the play and did not move an inch. Even the cornerback was like, I guess I'm just going to... Like, he looked at him like, all right, I'm just going to shift over here. And he didn't move an inch. an inch. He didn't even feign interest in trying to fake out this defense. So it's like, all right, what system exactly are you running where this guy is your best option? Same thing that goes for the Ravens. What system are you running where this guy is your best option? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I don't know football.
You know what I like about football, and we'll move on soon, but is it you can't tank on purpose.
No.
That's my favorite thing about it. It's like earlier this season, the Giants were supposed to be a Super Bowl team, mm-hmm. right? Now they're 0-4. The Jets were trying to tank.
Trying to lose.
They were doing their best. They're like, we're going to pick up McCown. We're not going to pick up a single running back.
We're trading all of our best players.
Every player that has any recognition or name. There are more players that can be named by name on college universities Thanks. Than there are on the Jets. I Thanks. Guarantee that. And they're 2-2.
If Baker Mayfield and like five Jets players walk into a bar right now, everyone's going to know Baker Mayfield. Yeah.
Like, you can say, who are those big guys? That's your security. Well, What's going on?
I didn't know they carry you there. So, yeah, no, it's a
untankable sport.
Shout out, and that's what I call it. Any given Sunday, man.
Word,
like any given Sunday. That's the one true beauty about NFL. Mm. There's parity. The same team, except for the Patriots, who just happen to be in the mix every year.
Yeah.
You know, you can't tank on purpose.
But I think it's something we should explain for like maybe foreign fans who don't really understand American football. Because there are people listening to this, right? And they don't understand. But there is something intriguing about American football and the fact that every year, even mid-season, shit changes.
Your team has a shot.
Your team is, even the Giants, 0-4 now.
Mm-hmm.
Some shit could go down.
In the kooky, crazy NFC East.
This especially the happens. Giants. I fucking hate the Giants
because
so
they
much.
Do this.
Because this is they can reel off 9 straight, lose the next 3, limp into the playoffs at 9-7, win the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
I never count the Giants out. It's so fucking annoying. Yeah,
that is literally every Super Bowl run I've witnessed in my never going into a Super Bowl run that the Giants had have I said in the beginning of the season, these guys look like they can win the Super Bowl. These guys could definitely win the Super
Maybe
Bowl.
That's why they lost 4 straight. It's like, we're too cocky.
Yeah.
Everybody lower your expectations. We need to get there the way we do it.
Exactly.
Giant football.
That's the New York Giant way.
All right.
Suck into greatness.
It's also the way a lot of women make it in Hollywood. Anyway.
Hey.
Pumps. Talking about women, WNBA Finals. Kaz.
Lit.
How bored have you been? Did you delete Instagram? What's going on? You must have a girlfriend. No way a single man is going to sit at home. Your girl is, you said your girl's tall. She's how tall?
She's tall, yeah. She's 5'11".
Okay, so this is why you're watching WNBA Finals. Stop acting like you care about this shit. You got a girl who hoops.
Dead ass. I'll be dead ass, all right? I'm a basketball junkie.
Okay.
Right? Last year,
if you watch the finals, that's bottom.
I caught the WNBA finals just like bullshitting around, right? Okay. Because I'm looking on Twitter, everyone's like, yo, I'm not trying to gas it. Like, because you know, we're on Twitter, we make fun of the WNBA here and there, whatever. But like last year, I seen somebody tweeting, like, yo, like, no gas, turn on the ESPN2 right now. The WNBA finals are lit. I'm like, all right. And then, like, you know, even with my like limited knowledge of women's basketball, I know Candace Parker. Yep. I know Maya Moore. I know Simone Augustus. These are all players that I watched in college that were beasts, that were like on the cover of Slam and all of a sudden shit. So I'm like, all right, I know these people.
Yeah.
It's in LA. Like Magic's there, Kobe's there, Snoop's there. I'm like, okay, it's lit. And like every single game goes down to the wire. Every single game is super exciting. It always goes. I read some stat this morning on SportsCenter.
My friends and I play 3-on-3 half court every day. It's always really close. You want to come through and watch? You want to watch a bunch of layups?
I challenge. All right, you know,
they're better than me. Do you want to watch me on TV?
I challenge you.
Challenge me to do it.
I challenge you to watch Game 5, the deciding game of WNBA Finals this Wednesday.
I'm gonna watch
on
it.
ESPN.
I would literally rather watch people polish the hardwood floors before the game.
There'd be more athleticism.
You guys are sexist.
There would be more athleticism in politics.
You
got to
take off your sexist.
No,
your
in
sexist
all seriousness,
eyeball.
I will watch.
Watch
because
it.
You said I will Tell watch, you. And we will come back next. We will come back next week.
WNBA,
we'll
do not let me down. Yo. Okay, please have a good game.
But here's why it's hard for me to watch them because I can beat all of them, and there's it's very difficult for me to enjoy watching a sport where I know I can beat everybody.
I'm gonna tell you straight up.
That's another challenge.
Maya Moore will smoke you.
Like, you'll, well, you'll, Maya Moore, I know you're going to listen to this.
Maya Moore can smoke some baby back ribs. She could smoke some salmon.
We're not doing this. We're not doing this.
She could smoke some potato salad. I don't know. Something.
It took us 3 weeks.
She's not going to smoke me in basketball.
It took us 3 weeks to get you alt-right, Andrew. It took us 3 weeks when we
sexist. Not alt-right. Sexist, yes. Not alt-right.
Yo, that's a challenge. Let's set that up. Andrew is any WNBA player who wants to give Andrew the business.
Okay, you know who I do?
I will bake Maya Moore the way she bakes muffins. You know who there's no way in hell she could beat me in basketball.
You know who I do know listens to this podcast? Who? Skylar Diggins definitely listens to this
Skylar,
podcast.
Yo, Skylar. Real talk, are you single?
Skylar Diggins will smoke you.
Are you single?
She just got married, by the way.
Oh, my bad. No disrespect, Skylar. Yeah. I believe in the sanctity of marriage. Who'd you get married to?
I don't know who
you
got married to.
In all seriousness, in all seriousness, thank you for listening to the podcast. I'll bust your ass easy in basketball. It's not even a question.
Like, God, if you set that up, we film it.
I honestly can't. I can't see any WNBA player scoring more than 3 points in game 2-11.
Bro, she's going to cook you.
Listen.
How?
She's going to cook you. She shoots better than you. She has better handle than you.
Y'all think that she can get a shot off?
She's putting you on her shoulder and riding like fucking Iverson, dog.
Fam.
I guarantee you.
Fam. First of all, nobody put me on my shoulder.
I'm telling you, bro.
No.
And ones.
No.
And ones all day.
And one what?
Well, she's going to drive to the cup.
No.
She's going to.
Let me say two things.
Please,
number one,
say some things.
I have no doubt that WNBA players are way better than most of us.
And yeah.
I will say two, if Skylar Diggins and Andrew play, we could film it and televise it, and it would get higher ratings than anything the WNBA has ever put on. Right now, I can promise both.
We gotta set this up. Skylar, if you're listening
to this. Our podcast gets bigger numbers than the WNBA Game 5 Finals.
The return of the Hezzy.
That may or may not be true.
First of all, let me say something very clear. I want the WNBA to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. If you have fans for what you do, God bless you. Justin Bieber has fans. Selena Gomez has fans. Are they the best musicians in the world? No. You don't have to just be the best at something to have fans. God bless you. If people like the way you play the game, for example, the game could be different. Female tennis is a more enjoyable game because of the volleying.
Uh-huh.
Right? They say male tennis is just too much serve, done. It's not as interesting.
Rallying. But yeah, I like men's tennis better. But female tennis, I watched the Venus Williams and Sloane Stephens match. It was phenomenal.
Okay, so what I'm saying is that, and there could be value in this for in female basketball, right? Uh-huh. There could be an aspect of team sport. I don't know. Maybe people like layups. I don't know what the fuck it is.
Okay, Andrew, I take you to be a
dunking
basketball.
On Diggins.
You're not dunking on Diggins.
Let me tell
you. You are not beating Skylar Diggins, dog.
How's she gonna beat me?
Bro.
I need to know one way.
I've seen her play ball in like with my own two eyes, where I'm like, oh yeah, no, she's fast. Oh yeah, no, she can shoot. Oh,
you saw her play against men?
Bro, it doesn't matter, dude. Like, I see her in real time. Bro. Like,
okay. You ever see your dick?
I wish you had videos that you can see Andrew's face right now.
Actually, you gotta send a video.
Yo, his hat is off.
This is insulting. It's like, you're acting like I'm not King Hezzy.
Yo.
Let me tell you something. No.
I hate to see this.
I grew up playing ball in the mean streets of New York City. No girl's ever gonna beat me in basketball,
first
bro.
Off.
I've never met a girl that could beat me in basketball.
Yeah. Because you haven't met any WNBA players. I guarantee you.
They'll beat you in basketball?
Skylar Diggins?
You could hoop, Kaz.
I could hoop. If we're shooting, yeah, I think Scott Lewis could beat me.
What is shooting?
If it's not like full contact, hack baller.
We're not doing full contact.
Nah, if you play, Scott Lewis could beat me.
She could beat me on one-on-one. She could beat me one-on-one.
How?
Bro, she's a better shooter than me. She has better handle than me.
How did she get shot off?
Bro, she's quick as fuck, dude. She's like 5'6".
Yo, I'm going to be in her head. I'm going to be like, yo, 70%.
I'm going to make this happen.
No, real talk.
Dude.
Two televised events we have to have. You playing Skylar Diggins one-on-one. Me, Dustin, OJ in a race. Both got to happen.
That's God damn it. Every year we do the Flagrant 2 Awards. We give our sports awards. We have a couple interesting things go down. In all seriousness.
You know what? I'm going to put this in the air right now.
Put it in the air.
This year's All-Star Weekend is in Los Angeles.
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh.
By the time we get to February, I want Flagrant 2 to be so popping
mm-hmm.
that we have Akash versus OJ in the 40-yard dash.
OJ going to be famous by then. He'll be in Hollywood.
Akash versus OJ in the 40-yard dash.
I will dust you.
Skylar Diggins versus Andrew Schultz one-on-one.
I don't want this, bro.
Game to 21.
I don't want this.
Game to 21? Twos and threes all at once.
Twos and threes.
Hold up with this game 21. I'm 33 years old, son.
Son. Come on, bro. Come on. We're playing to 11.
Bro, to 11, 21, 11. She smokes you,
11,
dog.
It's game to 11. We're playing by ones. We're playing old school rules. By ones, game to 11. She can get anytime she wants. Now, this is what I would recommend. I would suggest that WNBA step in now and not let this happen.
Oh, my God.
Because it would destroy the brand. It would destroy the brand of King as he comes out of retirement.
Don't play scared. That's a lie. Because you know WNBA got no brand.
First off, right?
So don't even try that. You scared.
Anyway,
that's fine.
All right, how about I'm this? Saying if Skylar beats me,
yeah,
I wear a WNBA jersey for the rest of the time that we do this show.
You should wear a WNBA jersey anyway.
Every time we do this show,
I don't
want to
wear
one
it.
Of those cute
year,
little crop WNBA jersey. They show your belly button in that jersey. How does it work? How does the WNBA?
It does have a nice contour.
Work?
It has a nice contour.
It has a nice, make your hips look cute. They got a little patch to breastfeed. You can open that shit up right where the WNBA logo has it, and that shit. It just opens up like that.
This is some sexist ass shit. All right. All I'm saying is this Wednesday. I want you to watch the WNBA finals.
I already told
you
I'm watching.
I want you to watch it too, Akash. Please.
Wait, is Skylar in it?
I'm going to be
in
Paris.
No.
How's she going to be, but she's not champion?
Well, it's the...
How am I going to get beat by a not champion, bro? I don't even get it. Did she win in college at least?
Oh, my God. Yes, bro. She went to Notre Dame. She went to the Final Four and all that.
And she won.
I think they lost to UConn or something.
Let me tell you something.
Or Stanford.
When I beat Jay, when I crushed Jay.
First off, you spotted him... Numerous points.
Now
he spotted you numerous points. Yeah.
But whose decision was that?
Doesn't matter.
That was Jay's, right? Okay. Because if it was start from zero, I would have put seven on that S. Okay. Right? He decided to give me six, so I let him get six to keep it interesting. I'm an entertainer at the end of the day. The reality of the matter is...
The absurdity of this conversation.
Bro,
right
how?
Now.
What I'm trying to understand is how?
The absurdity. You're spotting Skylar Diggins 0-0. Is this what you're doing?
I mean... What does she want? 3 points? I'll give her 3 points.
No spot, nobody points. Oh, like, we're just 0-0, straight up. Yeah. You're still winning.
But, and only a year of WNBA jerseys. I can't see you in WNBA jerseys forever.
Fine,
that's
I'll do a year of WNBA jerseys. That's
52
fine.
WNBA jerseys.
That's fine.
That's it.
That's fine.
I don't even know if they make 52 different WNBA jerseys,
anyway,
but we'll figure it out.
WNBA finals this Wednesday. Kendis Parker, Agumike, Simone Augustus, Maya Moore. These are all... Hoopers, dude, and they will all.
I believe you.
This is what I want everybody listening to Flagrant 2 right now. This is what we're going to do. We're going to watch the WNBA Finals as a family.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And we're going to support the WNBA because I'm supportive.
As you should.
We're going to support the WNBA. Okay? Everybody's going to watch it. Now, if it's trash, you can call it trash.
We call it trash.
But if it's good, trash. Call it good.
Please,
just
be honest. Just be honest.
That
if you like sports.
Said, after this game, I want you to realistically let us know if you think any of these girls have a chance of scoring 3 points on me. Okay? I play Basketball City tonight. I'm going to post clips from the game. Okay? I'm going to get some clips. I'm going to post them. You told me the hottest clip that's in that WNBA Finals game, and I'm going to show you what I put on somebody tonight.
We'll see.
And we're going to see.
We'll
and we're going to
see
who wins this one.
If we don't get Skylar, I will you know, put it on the table right now. I will find a WNBA player to play you one-on-one. I will find you one.
Bro, she's going to be playing in Siberia when I'm done with her. I'm going to call Putin on the phone when it's 10-0. Oh, I'm going to call Putin like, yo, you ready for another one?
This is some sexist ass shit. But it's all right.
I don't think you're going to win, but I want to see it.
Basketball. If you enjoy basketball, if you enjoy the skill of
it. I don't enjoy basketball that much, all right? I just don't.
Fair.
I just don't. I don't.
I'm a junkie.
AAU.
I'm a junkie. I watch high school. I watch AAU. I watch college. I watch all of it.
I watch LeBron in high school.
So this is an interesting argument. I think that a lot of shit gets caught up in sexism when it really isn't. I think that when it comes to sports, for a lot of people, I like watching the best of the best. If I don't have a tribal connection, like the reason I can watch the Knicks is because I'm tribal, right? Like that's my identity. I can't watch a trash NBA team play another trash NBA team.
No,
just
I
like
can't
you
do
can't
it.
Watch a trash NFL team play another trash NFL team. So the only allegiance I have to the sport of basketball is greatness. And if I'm watching it at a lower level, be it high school, I don't like watching high school hoops.
Yeah.
I actually don't even fuck with college hoops that much.
Not
so
until the tournament.
It has nothing to do with gender.
Well, that's where we disagree.
No, you love ball so much.
I'm a junkie. I will watch. I stayed up Saturday. I didn't go out Saturday because I wanted to watch Lonzo
Ball. Preseason. You were talking about preseason.
Preseason.
I can't, and I'm with Andrew. That's perfectly said. I tried to get NBA League Pass for a little bit, and I was like, I don't care about most of these teams.
Watching. No, that's interesting. And
so it's not like I watched the WNBA all year. Let's be clear. Like, I'm not watching
now he's backing up.
I'm not watching the WNBA all year.
Skylar, you hear this?
But the finals,
Skylar,
bro, the finals won me over last year. I caught game 3 the other night. Last night was another good game.
Skylar, he don't even watch you play. You're not in the finals. This man don't care about you.
I can't believe you're making me challenge people who don't make playoffs.
Shout out to the Agumake sisters as well, man. They're beasts too. And I think
the Agumake sisters?
Agumake. One of them plays for the Connecticut Sun, that's Shanae Agumake, and then Naka, who was the MVP last year, and
hit
the game winner. Bro, like the game last year.
Are they from Niger?
To the last second, she hit a fadeaway game winner to win the championship with less than a second left. Like, how is that not exciting to you?
No, that's just hot. That's just hot. That's dope. How small is the ball they play with the game?
That's a good question.
How you miss with
if
that?
You play, and I do still think she'll beat you, but you're going to play with a men's ball?
Of course you're playing with a men's ball.
I can play with a men's ball.
You're going to give me a female ball? It's over.
We're going to figure this out. We're going to figure this out by All-Star
female
Weekend.
Female ball, she's getting dunked on guaranteed, left-handed, matter of fact. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about this Wade Bron, and as you so poetically put it, bromance.
The bromance.
The bromance. LeBron and Wade are back together. I love it. I love seeing it.
I think it's
a beautiful relationship they have. They are a little bit petty. I will say this. Is there anything that has defeated the test of time like a do-rag? Literally, they haven't invented anything else that can create waves in a black man's hair besides the do-rag. The do-rag has existed.
Yeah. Like, they peaked with black hair technology.
They peaked? That's what I'm saying.
Right then
say.
And there. It was like in the 80s. I was like, yep, this is it. This is
Murray's
all we need.
Came out with the wave gel, right? And then the do-rag was like, we got this, fam.
We're good.
You take a
They
seat,
have
Mark.
Not improved on the technology. They haven't made no, like, heat tech or nothing. Like, they were like, nope, just this rag. This
LeBron
is it.
LeBron is a billionaire.
Yeah.
He's sitting in his mansion in Cleveland, drinking probably a $200 glass of Merlot with a 99-cent do-rag.
Yes.
It's hysterical.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful to see.
It's absolutely
You know what we call it? That's black excellence right there.
Black excellence.
That is black excellence right there. That is the dream. Every black man that saw that is like, that is it. That is the epitome of success right there, dude. I want to drink 3,000 a glass wine while making sure my wings are tight. That is it right there, dude. Man.
So hot.
You can hate LeBron all you want. Watching him being super rich, walking around with the door. What the flap out? That is the key. Yep. He's not tucking it in. He's not putting it over his hat. He's not trying to hide it. Having the do-rag cape with the flap out, that's a different level of carefree black boy joy.
Of course.
That... we're just not going to see.
You're a billionaire. And we're not going to succumb to these things.
Of course.
Yeah, I was watching I think Dwayne Wade was doing an interview with
Rachel Nichols.
Rachel Nichols. And then LeBron came out and started teasing him about how he's wearing makeup. And Dwayne Wade was like, I don't have on makeup. And LeBron's like, yes, you do. You ain't that light. And I saw a side of LeBron. I was like, we don't ever see that LeBron.
Yeah.
That LeBron is funny. That's the Dwayne Wade LeBron. Yeah. I like that.
That's why I'm so excited to see them back together.
Yeah.
Because I might have been alone on this, but like when he was the villain in Miami. And it was just him and Wade and to a lesser extent, Bosh versus the world. I thought that was, because I love wrestling. I love storylines.
Right.
I love the pettiness that they went into with every game, knowing they were going to get everybody's best shot. And I love the shit that they talked. I loved all the goofiness behind when they were doing like the on-court interviews. Like, I loved all that shit.
Yeah.
And like Dwayne Wade and Bron love each other so much.
Yeah.
That shit's real.
I think, and I said this last week, I said, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I don't know. You put Wade on that team, not so much for the on-court production, But the sheer joy that LeBron gets
in camaraderie. One of y'all might even say, LeBron didn't seem like he was having that much fun.
He
last
wasn't.
Year.
It was all business.
Yeah.
It was
and
all
now
business.
It's fun again. Yeah. And that's
you're saying
cool
if
to
you
see.
Put him on there, what
I
happens?
Still, I'm giving the slight edge.
Wow.
Over Golden
Over
State.
Golden State. I give him the slight edge.
Okay.
There are, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, there's a bunch of things that we have to tackle here with this Bron Wade thing. You say slight edge.
You're not, you're, yeah. I give Cleveland a slight edge. Over Golden State this year.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why is it, before we get into the stats of it, why is it that LeBron has this level of comfort, maybe even vulnerability around Wade that he doesn't have with other
Well, they
teams?
Came into the league together.
He doesn't feel like he has to be leader. He's like, okay, this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think going through Miami and that being a villain and winning your first championship, right,
they went through everything together.
So there's a trust there.
Olympics together. Yeah.
That he feels, okay. It's just interesting because you don't get that feeling with everybody.
No.
You know, like the feeling where you can joke around. Yeah. When you say a joke, you open yourself up to jokes.
Yeah.
Right? And that can, you know, put some chinks in your armor.
Yeah.
Right? It's just an interesting dynamic to see him. And again, very likable and everything, but yeah, there's an immense trust between these two
guys.
And you
know what's going to show? You're going to see the cracks in the armor between the Warriors and KD and all the shit he's went through this year. And like Curry and like the sneaker comments and like all the little things. All that little shit's going to add up eventually.
Like, I don't know if it will, but
the Draymond BS that went happen. Like, let's not get it twisted. Like, the Warriors are an amazing team, right? They lost one of those big fours. In the first time they went to the finals and they lost. Granted, both of those teams have loaded up since then.
Added KD,
Isaiah and all these other guys. But, you know, let's not just write off the Warriors for another championship this year. Like, Dwayne Wade is a huge addition to that team.
Interesting.
Even just for the playoff run, because you're not gonna wear him out during the season because the Cavs are stupid deep.
Right.
He's probably gonna get 25 minutes at best. But when it gets to the playoff finals time
to cook.
It's time to cook. And even that the first little run that they had in Chicago, you saw glimpses of flash when it was playoff time, when it was crunch time. He can still...
When Rondo was playing, it was good money. When Rondo got out the game, no.
Wade is still a killer in crunch time. And that's one thing LeBron lacked.
Also,
in a lot of those playoff games.
Real quick.
Go ahead.
What is your Cleveland starting five?
I got Wade on the bench.
Really?
I got IT when he's healthy. I got J.R. Smith.
Oh, yeah, we're talking healthy Cavs, right?
Everybody's healthy.
I got J.R. Smith. I got Jay Crowder. I got Thompson. I mean, I got LeBron. I got Love. I think that's the five.
I got Wade and Braun, Isaiah, Love, Thompson.
You got, let me write that. You got Wade.
Braun. IT.
IT.
Kevin Love.
Love.
Tristan Thompson.
Wow, Tristan's still in it.
Tristan's still at the five, yeah.
So we always talk about the Kardashian curse. But how funny is it that he gets Khloe pregnant and now he's a six man? Within 2 days of her being pregnant, he's been relegated to the bench.
Nice.
That's what the Kardashians do to you. They will take down. Okay.
See how fat Kanye got?
Oh yeah. We can't fat shame Kanye, though.
Fuck yeah, we can. We can't fat shame. This is sports podcast.
This is analysis by asshole.
Be out of shape.
Yeah, exactly. Get your ass in shape.
Fat ass in the gym.
Exactly. Right, there you go. All right, so look. I think if IT's, because IT's injured right now, I think that there's not enough three-point shooting if both Derrick Rose and Dwayne start.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they're even tampering with the lineup and thinking about putting Love at the five, because they're like, how do I get some productivity? How do I get 3-point shooter? How do we do it? How do we spread it? Because there's no way you're going to go to Rose, Wade, and Tristan in a 2017 NBA offense.
Why not?
Three guys that can't shoot threes?
Why not? Well, Wade's improved a little bit, right?
But he knows not to shoot.
And I don't think the Cavs are going to go into this year trying to fight fire with the Warriors and try to outshoot the Warriors.
But that was
no
team last
year. Yeah,
their
but they're completely different team this year.
Let's say you go...
Healthy Isaiah is a hell of a three-point shooter, though.
Okay, so yeah. So let's say you have healthy Isaiah. You go IT starts, right? Then you go... I think you go IT.
Mm-hmm.
You can go Wade. I think you put Crowder, Braun, Love.
I don't know.
Four guys are wet.
Yes, but I don't think Tristan, well, for Tristan's sake, I think he's only effective when you surround him with scorers. Like, you don't put him in a bench role when he has to, like, produce. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's trying to produce and you know, he's getting limited minutes.
Right.
Like, a lot of those games, a lot of the things that Tristan Thompson does doesn't show up on the box score.
Right.
He won a lot of games for those Cleveland Cavaliers because he gets those teams, especially when he's surrounded by shooters.
Sure.
You give him second and third opportunities.
That's huge.
At those positions.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't get those with just Kevin Love down there.
Or and Jake the pick Ryder. And roll is good. I mean, you're going to have a guy, you know, I don't know if IT is going to be more willing to pass than Kyrie, but at least they'll have some interesting options. Matter of fact, IT might pass better or more often than Kyrie off the pick and roll.
Honestly, I don't think... To be honest, I don't think IT plays point guard for these guys. I think you see LeBron's full-on transition to point guard now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think you go full Magic Johnson with LeBron this year.
Yeah.
You let him run the show. You put, you know, maybe you put JR at start. I'm still not sure if you start weighted JR because you're right. We do need some shooters.
You need to spread it.
To spread out
but think
floor.
About it. With LeBron playing the one, you don't have to... And IT is not playing because he's injured right now. With LeBron playing the one... You can have a very fun lineup of Bron, Wade, JR, or Jay, Love. And if you want to put Tristan out there, you can as well. But it gives you options. Like, you're a big fucking team.
Yeah. So you're bringing Rose and insane. Wade off the bench.
It's insane.
I would either, you either start Jay or Wade, or JR or Wade, right? Yeah. It's one of those situations. I just like the shooting. I like spreading it.
But it's the thing. Room. There's a bunch of shooting off the bench, too.
Like your first eight are deep.
Yeah. Even Richard Jefferson still got some tread on his tires. Kyle Korver could shoot it. Jared could shoot it.
I forgot about that. Korver's your ninth man, I think.
Yeah. Like, dog, they're Channing Frye. Channing Frye could knock it down. Yeah. Like, dog, they are deep.
Here's another thing to your point, Kaz, about them maybe having the edge. I still don't know that I give it to them, but... And again, making this about the Mavs because I saw two finals I was very invested in.
Yes. Right.
When the Mavs lost to the Heat had a lot of hungry players that didn't have a ring. Gary Payton comes to mind. Jason Williams comes to mind.
Shane Battier. All those
dudes played a role in them winning. When the Mavs won, the thing they had on the Heat, none of them had rings. All of them wanted rings.
Yeah.
They were all old. They all wanted it. Cavs got some hungry, edgy dudes who just want to win.
Yeah,
Derrick Rose wants a win. Dwayne Wade got rings, but he just an alpha. He just wants it.
And I'm trying to tell people, like, yo, calling it right now, all-star year for Derrick Rose this year. All-star year.
I hope so. I don't know.
All-star year. So. Isaiah Thomas he's probably not going to be back until like January, like Christmas time, January, maybe. Derrick Rose is going to get a lot
All-star
of
caliber or will
no,
actually
will,
get the All-star?
He will be selected as an All-star this year.
All right.
So, if he puts up the same exact numbers, if he puts up the same exact numbers he put up this year, and a team, and it's a top in team in the East, top one, top two, he's an All-star.
He says he's in a better headspace. He says he's like, he feels better physically and mentally than he's felt maybe ever.
I think Rose still got him, man.
18-4 on a number one seed is an All-star year.
Mm-hmm. It's facts. I mean... You know, you put them on the top team in the Eastern Conference and you're, you know, obviously he's going to get way more looks than he did on the Knicks because you're surrounded with Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Kevin Love. You're the fourth option.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
Tons of space.
And Derrick Rose can still get to the cup.
Easy.
He's probably still one of the top five finishers around the hoop at point guard.
For sure.
You know what I mean? So he could still, and here's the thing. He's going to have a great year. People go, oh my God, what a
resurgence.
A resurgence. Like, dog, New Yorkers saw this from him last year when he was surrounded by
but none
bumps.
Of us wanted to watch the Knicks.
And nobody
like I said,
to watch
I don't watch
them.
Basketball. I might rather watch a WNBA than the Knicks.
Stop playing.
I'm going to a preseason game tomorrow. That's how invested I am in the damn Knicks, bro.
God bless.
Watching the Brooklyn Nets and the Knicks in the preseason. Terrible.
Who tells Melo that it's time to put down a hoodie?
Yo,
Ricky Velez is a comic, really funny guy, friend of ours. He said the funniest thing. He goes, he's wearing a hoodie because he's fat, right? Like, right? Like everybody was aware of that. Like everybody knows that. Like,
I never thought Melo was in shape.
Son, this is the funniest thing. The motherfucker's been wearing a hoodie because he's fat. All of a sudden, it became a trend, and he's like, oh, I don't got to lose weight for the season? All right, fuck it. I'm going to rock this hoodie shit. The dude played a scrimmage at OKC with the fucking hoodie on. Whoever his PR person is.
Melo is not fat.
You know what I think it is?
When Melo is he been in shape,
B? Pause. Melo just has big hips, right?
Fuck,
he just has big hips. Yo, so when he wears
kinda
shorts,
built like a clown, like Pennywise, you know, little Pennywise hip having ass. That's why he gets all that separation.
But then you'll see him like working out with like the undershirt, and it's like, oh, he's not fat. He just has really big legs and the hips. So like in a basketball jersey, especially if it's untucked, You're going to look husky. You're going to look like Paul Pierce.
You know what the Melo hoodie is to me? Here's the Melo hoodie to me. Because when I was a kid, my whole life, I'm not good at basketball, but I look like I'd be way worse than I am. Okay. So when I would start beating people, they'd always just like take weight off to make it seem like they were going to play better. Like they take their hoodie off. You know what I mean? Melo leaving the hoodie on is the same thing. Melo leaving the hoodie on is the same thing in a different way. He's like, oh, let me show them how serious I am. Hoodie up. Now we're playing. You're still the same Melo to a large degree, I think.
To an extent. But
I think this is the first positive reinforcement he's gotten in 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 years.
I would say probably since he left Denver.
Since he left Denver. And even maybe during some time at Denver. I think this is the first time that anybody has gotten behind him and actually given him compliments where he's been in the news for actual good things, for something that's likable.
On the court,
mind you. And I think he's just kind of relishing in the positive energy. Like, we can all act like we don't care and we're unaffected by people's opinions. At the end of the day, it feels good to get a pat on the back.
Yeah.
So he's milking this shit. But
it's the first time in his career, or probably since he left Denver, that he's not looking to be, like, the franchise savior. It's like, you're really good at scoring.
Yeah.
We just need you to come in and just do what you do.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll be the first one to blame. As a Knicks fan, we wanted Melo to be Braun.
Yeah,
we wanted him to be like, it's like, yo, LeBron could do this. How come Melo can't do this? And we didn't appreciate, some people didn't appreciate, like, dude, this guy gets 25 points a game in his sleep. You know what I mean? Like, you put him on a team where he doesn't have to do as much. Like, hey, do what you do really good, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's why he was the shit in the Olympics. That's why Olympic Melo was awesome. All he had to do was just come in and score.
You know, it's funny to see watching Knicks fans. The NBA just turned into a big arms race, right? Nobody came up emptier than the Knicks. You got a half a year of Amari Stoudemire's knees, and then you traded good pieces for Melo, which you thought was going to really change things, and is exactly more of the same, if not less.
One of the pieces that they ended up trading away for those draft picks ended up being Gordon Hayward, for one.
Yeah, okay.
Another one ended up being, I think, God, I can't remember. But I know
mean, we left JR and Shump and let them go win a ring.
Yeah, yeah.
In 2003, though, if someone was like, yo, you're going to get Melo and Amari, you'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
What? Let's do it. We took all of Amari's worst year. We literally had his best year ever, but it was only for a half a season.
And y'all were so hype.
And then it was like,
yo, if somebody told me 10 years ago, listen, the future of the Knicks is going to be dismal, but your most exciting player will be a Chinese kid that went to Harvard. I would punch that person in the face. I'd be like, stop lying. Stop spreading fake news.
But I'd be dead ass, though, man. Them Insanity Games was the shit.
Oh, that was the best.
The city was on fire.
Incredible. You could sell tickets to Asian kids for absorbing amount of money.
That's as close as I'm going to get to having somebody in the league. That's a country over. I'm in.
Right next door. That's the bus stop away.
I was in.
But you know what's the crazy part about that, though, after this whole thing? Like, Jeremy Lin's still a pretty productive NBA player.
Solid NBA player.
And it's like, dog, like, if Jeremy Lin stays, let's play, you know,
devil's advocate.
Jeremy Lin stays, what point guard that Melo has played with is better than him? Since. That would have been his best point guard if they made Linsanity work.
Yeah, but he doesn't want a point guard.
No.
And we
probably wouldn't have got Porzingis.
He wants a Derek Fisher, really. Yeah. He wants a point guard who's just knocked down 3-point shooter, locked down deep, but we'll just feed him the ball in the post and just let him cook.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't want a dynamic point guard. And Jeremy Lin is most effective when he has the ball in his hands and he's driving to the cup and he's dishing or he's finishing at the rim. And but he ended up being a cool player. All right. Let's talk about this Nike Adidas scandal.
Oof.
Rick Pitino done.
And you know, obviously Pitino, all these things are involved. I guess let's do a little backstory. So recently we heard last week, if I'm not mistaken, that Adidas was being investigated by the FBI and they are being subpoenaed for essentially paying players to go to certain schools.
Yeah.
Right? Is that right? Let's hope it's right. So Adidas comes out. Now, what's kind of interesting is a day or two before that, Adidas just passed Jordan as the number one sneaker brand in the country. No, it's the number two sneaker brand in the country. So Nike, now it's Adidas, and then Jordan. And then the day after that, the FBI subpoenas them. So my initial reaction was that Jordan snitched.
Right.
So I was like, oh shit, Jordan just got jumped over. It's time to let him know.
Jumped over the jump man.
Boom, there it is. I was ready for like the new Jordan collab.
Yeah.
Like I wanted the snitching sevens. Like I wanted whatever sneaker he was wearing when he dropped down to the FBI. I want to get
a
that
yellow
shit.
Streak and a single, and a little finger over the lips. Like, don't tell nobody.
Yeah.
I'm going to Nike ID tonight. I'm making that shit.
The snitching sevens.
The snitching sevens would be hot. Then you got to talk to Mello because Mello's like, yo, snitches get stitches. What the fuck's going on? Jordan got to be like, listen, we can't get jumped over.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Nah, is there any more like morally corrupt system than the NCAA? Oh,
well, I think it's important we give some backstory to people who, one, might not understand a minutia of it, or two, might not even be familiar with how college sports work.
Give them the
No, please,
the
you might
oh, be all right, so with, I'll do it. So the NCAA, if nobody, I'm sure people who are listening to this are somewhat into sports, but, you know, if you watch the NCAA, this entity makes literally billions of dollars.
Right.
Billions of dollars every year through March Madness, through TV deals, through their own network, through like the Big Ten network, ACC, all this other stuff, right? Players get paid in per diem, which they get in between a winter break and the start of spring semester, which they can only use for food. And they get their books and board taken care of and tuition.
And tuition, yeah.
Right? The one thing that strikes as odd with the NCAA is that like these coaches and literally everybody around the NCAA are allowed to profit from the labor of these student athletes.
Right.
And, you know, basically to make a supremely long story short is that these people that are starting to get subpoenaed by the FBI and all this other stuff are literally just trying to do right by the kids. It's like these kids.
It's an interesting way of looking at
it. That's all they're trying to do. It's like these kids should be getting money. These guys should be getting paid.
So essentially, what Kaz is saying right now is the Adidas or Nike or every single brand that's out there is essentially paying the kid or the kid's family a stipend, a large stipend of money. We're talking about $100,000, $150,000 to come to a university that's also sponsored by that brand. So what Adidas did to get back into the sports, I guess, conversation in terms of wearing their basketball sneakers was invested in youth. Mm-hmm. So what they started doing is investing in high schools and saying, hey, we'll pay you $1 million a year, high school that's really good at basketball, if you make sure all your students wear our clothing and they wear basketball shoes.
Well, yeah,
they same thing with Louisville.
Same thing. They did it in every school. I went to St. Patrick's High School in New Jersey.
What were you guys?
And we were Brand Jordan School.
So you were Jordan School, yeah.
Yeah. So we Brand Jordan got paid a certain amount of money, and so did my coach, to make sure our entire team was outfitted.
Brand Jordan
with,
paid your coach and your school to make sure you guys all wore Jordan sneakers
sponsored,
and Jordan clothing, et cetera.
Yeah. Yes, they sponsored our school, so we got all types of Jordan kicks and our jerseys had the little Jordan logo and all that type of stuff. And that happens in literally every high school.
The idea is essentially, if you go to a Jordan high school, hopefully your coach will give you a little nudge because your coach is getting $100,000 a year.
To a Jordan college.
You go to a Jordan college.
Or a Nike college.
Or a Nike college might be North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon.
Cincinnati.
Yeah. These schools. And Adidas did the exact same thing, right? So they went to another kind of, instead of St. Patrick's, they went to St. Thomas.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, listen, we want your good players to go to Louisville because we're paying them $10 million a year for a 16-year contract. And Adidas really got back into the market this way. It's a really smart marketing strategy. What I was told, which was quite interesting, is that kids from the city charge more than kids from the country.
Hell yeah.
To go to colleges. So like city kids who are like kind of savvy growing up were like, I ain't doing this shit for $150. Like
hell
it's gotta be $250 grand for me to go to your school.
Hell yeah, dog. And with good reason. With good reason. Did any of you guys see like the Ben Simmons documentary?
No.
On Showtime? That was a phenomenal documentary. My boy Eric helped produce that. And basically, if anybody watched Ben Simmons' like first and only season at LSU, you kind of tell he kind of mailed it in.
Sure.
Yeah.
And like watching it, you're like, damn, he doesn't look like he's giving the effort. And then like you see him and you see like all the stuff he's talking about, how he's like, man, like this place is so corrupt. And like, dog, like he wasn't even going to class. He was like, dog, I'm only here for a year. Like I'm literally just doing my time. Like, these guys are, I'm sitting here like he was going to the store. He couldn't even afford to buy a sandwich. Because, you know, but he goes to the same bookstore and there's a bunch of number 25 LSU jerseys that people are buying.
Oh, of course.
And he's sitting here just like, it's bullshit. And he's from Australia.
Right.
I mean, like, he went to school in Mount Vernon, Florida, whatever, but he's Australian.
Right.
And he's just sitting here like, dog, this is bullshit. Like, this is, you know, Lonzo Ball said the same shit. Like, Lonzo Ball dropped a song this week, and he said something along the lines of UCLA Bruins did 1 year slaving for no money or some shit like right, that. Right. Like, you know, like, these kids are going in there with that mindset. That, like, yo.
You know how much Kaz loves basketball that he listened to Lonzo Ball's rap?
That's worse than the WNBA.
First of all, do you know how much I love the Ball family?
Yeah, that's true. We'll get to them in a second, but let's stay on this here.
Yeah.
So the argument is these schools are making money off of these players, and these players aren't making money themselves.
Yeah.
The tricky thing here is that they're not allowed to make money.
They're not allowed to make money. And it's just such a simple fix. It's not like the schools have to pay the kids.
Right.
Just make it a free market like any fucking other sport. Like if the same kid goes to LSU.
Right.
And he gets, I don't know, he ends up going to the Olympics or whatever, right? And Kellogg sponsors him, puts him on the cereal box and all that other shit.
Right.
That's fine. That's fine because the school isn't paying them.
Right.
All this other shit. That's perfectly okay. They still keep their amateur status. They can still go to school. They can still do all that. Why isn't it that like some kid, the same kid who goes to LSU, who's a star freshman, can't just be like, oh, Applebee's wants to pay me like $5,000 to say like the fucking two for Tuesdays is fucking awesome at LSU Applebee's. Like that has nothing to do with the school's policy or anything like that. Like this is America. Like you should be able to profit with anything that comes with your hard work and dedication to your craft. And it's like now these star players are getting more of an attitude, and not just getting that attitude, they're openly saying it.
Right.
They're openly telling people like, yeah, like I'm only doing this for a year. Like if it wasn't for the stupid rule that prevents me from being a professional after high school.
Right. Well, it doesn't prevent them. It just prevents
me from being in the NBA.
Right. Because you could, I mean, the reason the NBA has that rule is because it's free advertising.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'll let the NCAA advertise these players, build them up. And then by the time they're in the league, matter of fact, before they're even in the league, in summer league, we're going to be selling out games.
True.
Which is what happened with the Ball family, et cetera. So the NCAA and NBA have this agreement, right? NCAA gets to make money off of them for a year, and the NBA gets free marketing for their players that are in it. Totally makes sense. I completely agree with you. I don't think that what I think a player should be able to do is make money off of their likeness.
Yeah.
That can be completely independent from the school. Now, if the school wants to sell their jersey number, that's totally fine. They don't have to give them a penny. But you can't tell the kid that he can't give autographs. Mm-hmm. You can't tell the kid that he can't do anything off his likeness. If he wants to have a YouTube channel where he does interviews, then let them have a YouTube channel. Let them make money off their likeness. The argument that the school makes so much money so the players should, I don't agree with. Because most of these players suck. 99% of these players... 99% of these players don't have a marketable skill in the professional basketball world.
But then if you open it up to a free market where you paid players whatever to come over, the players who suck wouldn't get that much money.
That's my point.
But that's fine, though.
So what I'm saying is like when 99% of these college athletes, when they leave college, can't get jobs. They can't play in the NBA. Some of them can play in Europe, but most of them can't. So the actual value that they're getting per year is higher. A $50,000 a year education, books, what's it called? All the food, all these things is actually higher than their worth. The people who are suffering are the one player per team, maybe two players per team that if they're able to make money off of their likeness, they would be able to do it. So what I liken it to is Chipotle. Chipotle is a $1 billion company.
Mm-hmm.
They pay the people making your bowls minimum wage. Just because it's a $1 billion company, should you make the bowl makers get hundreds of thousands of dollars a year?
Yeah, but if Kim Kardashian decided, oh, I want to work at Chipotle for a day, Chipotle shouldn't be able to tell like, yo, you can't go and make money because you're Kim Kardashian selling Chipotle. Like, if people want to pay Kim Kardashian an extra $50,000 to get a burrito bowl from her. That's none of Chipotle's business.
That's my argument. I'm saying they should be able to do it themselves, but I don't think the school owes them money just because they make money.
Also, the education isn't necessarily an education. They're spending D1 at least. They're spending all their time working. Mm-hmm. Also, my brother brought up a great point. Football players. He was like, "You're saying you're going
to
educate me, but you're having me play a game that destroys my brain." Cool. What's the education worth?
Personal accountability, man. It's up to you to choose the classes that you want to take. You have first choice in your classes. There's a lot of advantages to be a student athlete, right?
Oh yeah, there's a ton. I was a student athlete, but saying like at the same time, like we're putting it on such a big scale. Like there's no reason that you know, Adidas shouldn't have given $100,000 to Ben Simmons to go to LSU. And if I'm a D2 athlete and like I'm really popular in the Westchester County area,
yeah,
and like the Westchester County fucking or some liquid lounge at some bar down the street wants to pay me $500 to make an appearance, like, hey, why not? Why does the school have to be involved in that? And that's why this whole thing gets sticky, because even the big brands know that. They're like, though, like, I would pay you this anyway.
Dude, I completely agree with you. And I think that you look at it like any other situation. You want to eliminate the crime, you make it legal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Look about drugs, right? There's tons of crime associated with the illegal drug market. You make it legal, all of a sudden there's no crime,
mm-hmm.
right? Nobody's killing each other for weed in Canada or fucking Amsterdam,
okay.
right? like true. There's not weed murders in Colorado.
This is true.
Right? Mm-hmm. There are, I mean, if you look at Chicago, the south side of Chicago, that shit is 100% drug related.
Mm-hmm.
You get the drugs, you make drugs legal in Chicago, I guarantee you see those shootings decrease 90%.
And I hate doing the what about crime in Chicago argument like that people always seem to do when it comes to this type of stuff. But I mean, to a certain extent, I kind of agree a little bit. But at the same time, it's like, all right, just because, okay, we're not shooting each other over weed now doesn't mean that there isn't a whole litany of other issues that come from this thing. And that's the same thing with college sports.
Absolutely. It's a much more nuanced argument. My point is that like if people are fighting over territory to sell drugs, why are they selling drugs in the first place is a whole different conversation. What leads somebody to illegal activity, whole different conversation. That being said, you have a situation where people are going to commit crimes because there isn't a legal market for it, which is what's happening right now at college sports. People are committing crimes. They're giving $100,000 here, giving $200,000 here to these players because they're not allowed to make that on their own.
Mm-hmm.
If they were allowed to, you couldn't bribe them.
Mm-hmm.
If Ben Simmons was allowed to make all the money he wanted and you came to him with a $100,000 check,
like, I'm screwing us up.
He'd be like, the fuck, I need $100,000 for you. I could make $200,000 doing a commercial. So, facts. Boom. Okay, fair enough.
Another thing I want to bring up while we're on the subject of student athletes. I forgot who brought it up. I think it was Van Gundy or somebody. What would you think of this? No, it was Stan Van Gundy. He said, we should get rid of the NBA draft. All incoming players should be treated as free agents.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And it goes to the highest bidder.
Salary cap. Just manage your salary cap.
What do you think of that?
Okay. You get rid of the draft.
Mm.
All players treated as free agents. And the teams get to... you're saying the teams take the risk of offering a max contract to a player, so they're competing. So you literally have the free market.
Yes.
Yeah. Whew. I think this
comes on the heels of Adam Silver changing like the tanking rules and like all this other stuff. Because I would just get rid of the draft altogether.
I think ultimately we would, as fans, regret it because you would be forced to invest an incredible amount of money in a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is most rookies don't pan out. I mean, what percentage of rookies pan out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now your team is cash strapped because they just signed a 3-year deal or a 5-year deal. So what this does essentially is protects the franchise from, you know, investing tons of money on these rookie players that we don't know if they could play at this level.
That's the risk you take, though. That's the risk you take.
Yeah, and you're right.
I personally think it's really interesting. I think that's how it worked before. I think that's how... Like, Will Chamberlain was signed.
Yeah.
Like, he was signed fresh out of Kansas, like, to, you know, a free agent deal. And I feel like it would at least make it interesting. Like, I would be, like, imagine, like, the Knicks, like, spending, like, $80 million on
a player who's definitely going to bust.
Frank Ntilikina. Not saying he's going to be a bust.
That's the thing.
Not saying he will, but, like, but that you also run the risk of being like, you know what? I'm going to sign Porzingis to a 10-year, $3 million contract. Because nobody's seen this kid. Nobody knows him. And I could, like, swindle this dude.
Yo, you know what's interesting?
And it's like, now I got him locked in for...
Doing that would really force a team to invest in accurate scouting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. A scout would be almost just as important as a head coach.
Or a head coach.
GM. Yeah.
Because right now, I know people who are in the league and, like, I meet scouts... We still got a lot of scouts who are like, I just got a gut feeling. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at the NFL, they don't play games. They're like, yo, how wide are your fingers?
How many
centimeters are your fingers, dog? Yeah. You know, what are your eyes like? How much peripheral vision? They break everything down.
Psychological
and that's
profile.
Because there's no such thing as rookie deals in the NFL. Like, they'd be like, yo, if we're going to sign this guy and we want this guy to be our quarterback for the next 10, 15 years.
Wow.
We're going to give him the money. We're going to invest this money because we've scouted this dude. We've scouted every single inch of this person. And like, we believe that he's, you know, our franchise, whatever.
Yo, I'm with you. Let the market decide.
Just let the market
decide.
I'm actually
into that. This right here favors the teams and it makes it easy for the teams. They don't have to invest that much in a player and they get things easy. But no, I'm with you. If you want to do it, put the fucking money up. Now, here's the question.
And it kills tanking. So you always get the best product every
Tanking's
time.
Tanking's done. Yeah. Here's my question. Does Lonzo Ball still go second?
Hell yeah. He probably goes first.
You think he goes first?
Well, there is no going first, going second. It's just whoever
signs. No draft.
Who gets the most money?
He gets a max deal out the gate.
Well, no, because you know he wants to play for L.A.
You know he wants to play for L.A.
L.A. got leverage.
You know he wants to play for L.A. He went to UCLA.
But that's what I'm saying. L.A. could offer less money.
This is true.
Where are you going to go? You want to go to Boston? Fine, they'll pay more, but you're not. What about this big baller brand you got this whole dream for?
It's true. But at the same time, you
got
a
brand new... I'd be really interested to see what LeVar did.
You got a brand new GM and Magic Johnson who wants to make a big splash. You know what I mean? Like, your team already sucks. You've seen this kid do what he did with the UCLA and the Bruins and with your summer league team. You're not going to just give this kid a not even a super max, but like close to a max deal, like $70 million out the gate.
I mean, this would be pre summer league, but yeah, I don't think he'd get a max. I think he'd get something.
I think he would. I think Magic would cut the check.
I guess my question is, would you put up with the persona and the baggage, if you will?
With air quotes, if you can't see.
Yeah, I have air quotes over baggage of Lonzo, knowing that you had to give him $20 million a year. It's easy to put up with when you got to give him 3 to 5.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Like 3 to 5, have some rap albums. 3 to 5, have your own sneaker company. 3 to 5, do all these things. Because I know that I'm getting you for literally 10% of what you're worth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If he could sign a $30 million contract after three years, if that's what he's worth, if he's worth a max player, you're getting him for 10% of the dollar. Do whatever the fuck you want, dog.
But at the same time, you don't need to do that. You don't need to put out rap albums. You don't need to put out your own sneaker or apparel deal if you're coming in as this $100 million brand off rip. It's like, yo, you focus on ball, dude.
That's it. So
that is it. So that, if you want this $100 million contract, fuck your sneaker deal.
Yeah.
Fuck your rap albums.
Yeah.
Fuck your dad. Play ball.
Yo, for real, there might be something to that shit.
I'm telling you. It's
interesting.
Genius.
It's interesting.
I think, and this even goes to, I know it's a weird transition, but it even goes to like the NBA player standing for the anthem.
Mm.
On some level, I think the players are willing to stand because they don't resent ownership and Adam Silver as much as NFL players resent ownership.
Oh, yeah.
Goodell.
Yeah. Oh,
I think there's something personal going on there.
Oh, all the NFL players hate Goodell. Silver has gotten pretty much everything right in terms of what the players wanted him to do.
And the players get paid incredible amounts of money.
Game is easier on their bodies.
Definitely easier
themselves.
On their bodies. They're much more protected. It's guaranteed contracts. Like, I think on certain level, NBA players are going, hey, we got something good here. We feel respected. I mean, even LeBron said it. Like, LeBron was like, there's a million other ways that I can affect change.
Yeah.
Besides,
and he's done it. Like,
And he absolutely has done it. And it's kind of funny because, listen, the king don't bend a knee. You know what I mean? Like, Jon Snow, he might have said that he's with Shorty, but he never bent the knee. Nah. And King James not bending the knee either. But he's able to affect change, obviously, in other ways. It's just interesting to see that the NFL protests gained so much steam when Trump said something. And there's this kind of resentment for the ownership and Goodell, and you just don't see it in the NBA.
Silver's also lenient with punishments, whereas Goodell is always like idiotic and just whatever. No one ever agrees with his punishment.
Let us free. Give us free.
What is give us free?
Fuck the draft and just give us free. Earn your keep in college, man.
What do you think? You think that do you think the players will stand for the anthem this year in the NBA?
Yeah, I think they'll stand. I mean, here's the thing. They have a lot of ways to make a statement that don't involve the flag. Like, the NBA was the first team, the first league to have, well, the WNBA really, was the first league to have people coming out in, like, you know, I can't breathe shirts.
Right.
Or, you know, they took off their jerseys and wore them inside out with the whole, what was the owner of the Clippers?
Sterling.
Don Sterling thing. Like, there's ways. There's a lot of freedom in the NBA that these guys could, you know, make statements without, you know, rocking the boat too much.
Right.
And yeah, like that's they're good, man. Like I don't think there's gonna be too many anthem protests. If there is one, I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think it'll be to the level of the NFL.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, look, I think that was another episode of Flagrant 2, guys. Is there any other final thoughts? Anything else?
Oh, man. This weekend, Saturday, we are going to Henny Palooza in Chicago. Please buy your tickets at hennypalooza.com.
Hey, congrats, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Buddy.
Wait, what date is that?
October 7th. October 7th, yes. Okay. Saturday, October 7th. Also, Wrestle Rap Podcast with Emilio Sparks. Check that out on the MLW Network. And listen to me on Satori Radio every day from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Got him. What is Satori Radio?
Satori Radio is a app it's a radio app that is originated in New York City for tastemakers. So it's like, it's basically a daily radio show that I host from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can download the app at NYC Satori. Go on to Google Play or Play Store, or just go to Satori, Satori-NYC.com. Download the app. Listen to me live every day from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'm just playing whatever I want. And yeah. That's it.
Dope.
Shout out to Bleacher Report.
Yeah, shout out to Bleacher Report. Hopefully soon. Two things. Number one, we launched my other podcast, American Deities. If you're a child of an immigrant, especially South Asian immigrant, I think it's dope. We launched that next week on Tuesday. And also, we have a comedy show at the New York Comedy Festival, the ABDC Comedy Show, November 12th. I'm going to keep plugging that. Carolines.com.
Okay. Also, let's see. I got obviously listen to Brilliant Idiots. Listen to Wester Bros. The Wester Bros. Podcast coming back for Stranger Things. So we're gonna do Stranger Things for that. We got a very unique experience. What we're gonna do is we're gonna watch it all one day and record each episode afterwards to capture like the binge experience. I don't think that's ever been captured in a review podcast. So we're gonna do that. I got some shows coming up. Please come check them out. I'm going to be in Chicago as well, the 4th through the 7th. I have Zanies in Chicago. So go to theandrewschultz.com, get to that. I'll be in Long Island the weekend after that. And then I'll be at the New York Comedy Festival. I'm going to be doing a show at Gotham Comedy Club on the 9th. So make sure you go November 9th. Get tickets for that. That's going to be a cool, fun show. And most importantly, yo, thank you guys for making us number one sports podcast on iTunes. We should have spoke about that at the beginning.
We really should have. Keep us number one.
Yo, for real, keep us number one, man. We had people heated. Jim Rome was scared. You know, we had everybody on their fucking toes. You guys put us at number one. We were there for like 2 days. Thank you so much. So keep commenting, liking, and sharing. I swear to God, most of these podcasts don't even get any comments.
This is true.
One single comment does a huge deal for I don't know, the algorithm or whatever.
Keeping us at the top. Hey, listen, you got us number one for sports.
Mm-hmm.
We cracked top 11 to top 12 overall.
That's crazy.
Which is
crazy.
Insane. I can't believe that many people listen to us talk shit.
Yo.
But let's keep it going, man. We fuck with it, so let's do it.
Let's do it, man. So keep listening to the podcast. Thank you guys so much for doing it. We'll do it every Tuesday. It's Flagrant Tuesday. This is Flagrant 2. No easy buckets. Peace.